So what is it that you're aiming for? Is your aim to be in God's presence, to experience his presence? Is your aim to have a personal relationship with Jesus? Because if these are your aims, that's what Jesus' aim is. And if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. If you're aiming at the wrong thing, you'll be missing out on the most important thing. And if you take your aim off the most important thing, you'll be missing out and you won't be maturing, which is what we're talking about, maturing. Discipline and hard work are essential in maintaining our aim, which is an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. And this week I'll be covering the second chapter of 2 Timothy, the first 13 verses, and explaining the importance of discipline and hard work in growing and maturity. I was asked to teach this lesson because in these verses, Paul uses the metaphor of a good soldier. And since I served for 30 years in the United States Army as a good soldier, I kind of fit the bill, so I'm uniquely qualified to speak on this. So, next slide. Okay, on your first day in the Army, you swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over you. You are untrained, but you're being paid, and you're now sworn in by an oath. You're technically a soldier. If war broke out, you could be deployed, but your ability to contribute would be very limited. You'd be like a baby, and maturity's a long way a ways off. And for a Christian, this is like when you first put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You're now a follower of Christ, and you have eternal life, but you don't have spiritual maturity. Next slide. The first thing you learn in basic training in the Army is obedience. Yeah, I said obedience. You are not in charge of your own life. It may come as a surprise to you, but the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:8 and Hebrews 5:8 that Jesus learned obedience. Soldiers put their trust in those who are appointed over them, and because it's their duty, soldiers obey. Followers of Christ put their trust in Christ and are motivated by their love of Christ to obey him. And that's out of John 14:23. Okay, so next slide. We're going to do another table question. And at your table, discuss, answer the question, what in your life are required for you to obey, and why do you obey in these areas? I'll go ahead and take 4 minutes. Okay, and the next slide. Okay, so for those of you that use the sheets, there's some answers in this one. So as a soldier in the Army, you do what you're told, usually without questioning. In basic training, you learn the most basic standards to be a soldier. You shave every morning, whether you need to or not. You wear your hair to a prescribed hair length. You learn how to speak. You address others by their rank. If it's an officer, you learn to address them as sir or ma'am. Your time is not your own. You're told when to wake up, when to eat, when to sleep. You're taught how to walk. You're taught how to crawl, yes, even crawl, and how to carry a rifle, how to shoot a rifle accurately, how to clean and maintain that rifle. You're taught physical fitness every day. You learn minimum physical standards, and if you're not up to them, you're trained to not only exceed them, but to achieve the best that you can. You're taught that you are part of a team where everyone is focused on the same mission and success depends on each other. You're taught to obey, not question, the orders of those senior to you and those appointed over you. You're taught what to wear. You learn that there are uniforms for specific duties and how to properly wear them. In basic training, you'll have drill instructors that constantly correct you if you're not meeting the standard. Graduation from basic training marks your minimal attainment of soldier standards. At this point, you don't need a drill sergeant looking over your shoulder. You are beginning to adhere to this orderly, prescribed conduct of behavior without having to be told. That's called discipline. And most have never worked harder in their lives than when they attend basic training. Your family and friends who see you after basic training, graduation, will say that you've been transformed. And it's amazing the impact of 9 weeks of hard work and discipline that can have on you. You're becoming more mature as a soldier. Growth comes from discipline and hard work. Next slide. After basic, you go to advanced individual training or AIT. for the specialty or role that you signed up for in the Army, such as infantryman, medic, military police. They all teach you more specific skills about the job that you're going to have in the Army. And once you finish AIT, you're assigned to an Army unit that could possibly deploy to combat in order to protect our country and its national interests. You continue to grow more mature as a soldier. You instinctively do what's right because it's been so ingrained in you. You realize that you are part of a team that's much bigger than yourself, and that your brothers and sisters in arms are counting on you, and you're counting on them. You're assigned to a new unit. At your new unit, you learn even more about your job as a soldier. You learn about standard operating procedures, or SOPs, which range from administrative functions to playbooks on how you will operate tactically as part of a victorious team. The amount of training that you do in preparation for combat is as serious and arguably more intense than it was throughout basic and AIT. Next slide. So in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, it states, "Therefore, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Very powerful verse starting out the second chapter. There was an Army recruiting commercial that used to say, "We do more by 9 a.m. or 9 in the morning than most people do all day," with the motto of, you know, "Be all you can be." And more recently, the Army commercials have adopted a slogan of "Army Strong." The recognition is that much is expected of soldiers. And where does a soldier get his power? From hard work, training, belief in the mission, the trust our nation is counting on him or her, and they won't let them down through their fellow soldiers, the Army itself. They're all sources of strength for a soldier. But then where does the Christian get his or her strength? Next slide. So maturity, Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace. And we know that from what Lee taught us in chapter 1 last week, that Paul commended Timothy for his faith, which was as strong as his grandmother Lois's faith and as strong as his mother's Eunice's faith, right? So it was his faith. So we also know from what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8-9, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. So there is a correlation between faith and grace, right? And so Pastor Mike pointed out to me a few weeks back that grace is the power to live the Christian life. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15:10 also. Paul tells Timothy that we can be strong in this grace, but you can't have that grace without faith, right? Next slide. Additionally, there's a few things about grace I just want to point out. First, it's a free gift and it's saving. From Ephesians 2:8-9. It teaches us from Titus 2:11-12. It's unrelenting, Romans 5:6-8. It empowers us to good works, 2 Corinthians 9:8. It's unmerited favor, again, Romans 5:6-8. And grace is the power to live the Christian life. So we can be strong in the grace that is in Christ. But in order to do so, we have to remain connected to the power source, right? Which is Jesus, right? And we do that through faith, right? Grace and faith are connected. Okay, next slide. Okay, so we're going to skip verse 2, and we're going to go back to it. And so we're going to cover verses 3 to 6 first. "Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor." Okay, next slide. Okay, so this is an example of hard work and discipline and the suffering associated with it for a soldier. This painting depicts the 20th Maine Regiment at a place called Little Round Top at the Battle of Gettysburg during the Civil War. In those days, as in Roman times, the commander would enlist the soldiers that would serve in his regiment. Now the military doesn't do it that way. But so when it says you, in the scripture where it says you obey the orders of those who enlisted you, that's what it's talking about. But you obey the orders of those appointed over you. It's the same thing. So just to point that out, when Chamberlain's men ran out of ammunition, He famously ordered his men to conduct a bayonet charge, and that's what this painting is depicting. So they're out of ammunition. He says, okay, fix bayonets. The Confederates are overwhelming the Union left flank, right? They're just going to tear it up. They're going to roll it up. They don't have any ammo. And Chamberlain says, fix bayonets, and he leads a bayonet charge, right? And then his men suffer great losses, but because of their obedience and bravery and the iron heart discipline, they turn the tide of the battle. And many historians argue that it probably won the Battle of Gettysburg, which is really pivotal. If the Union had lost at Gettysburg, it's very possible that, you know, it could have changed the outcome of the war. Lee went to Gettysburg because he wanted to get a victory in the Northern Territory. The South had tons of victories in the South, but they could never bring the fight to the North and get a victory. So this was his chance to do it. Little Round Top was a very pivotal moment in that battle, and where the Union wins. So it could have changed the outcome of history. So with that said, many of Chamberlain's soldiers who made the ultimate sacrifice didn't survive to see the fruit of their obedience and hard work and discipline, but their ancestors did. Next slide. Maturity is the result of hard work and discipline. Sometimes we will see the fruits of our obedience in this life, but many times we won't. God is the one who produces fruit. Our responsibility is to obey and let God produce fruit and be glorified. Like an athlete who runs to win a prize, we do the same as Christians. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24, 26, Paul tells us, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Okay, so next slide. So another table question. So what does discipline and hard work look like in the Christian life? Go ahead and take 4 minutes to discuss that question at your table. Okay, next. All right, next slide. Okay, so, okay, you can go. You can turn off the slide for right now, and I'll bring that back up. Okay, so we must be committed and disciplined in our relationship with the Lord. Some good discussions about pursuing wisdom, what that looks like, not just reading your Bible, but pursuing it as God's wisdom. And especially as we face trials, we need to remain, you know, really committed and disciplined in our relationships with God, because those trials, a lot of times, Satan will try to pull us away from our relationship with God. Like a soldier, we serve at the pleasure of the commander, and we must remain focused on him and obedient to his orders. Despite the hardships and obstacles, like the athlete, we must press through the pain and allow the rules to reach our aim, which is an intimate relationship with Jesus and that ultimately glorifies him. Like the farmer, we work hard to till the land. We plant seeds, we weed, we fertilize, we water. We wait patiently as God turns our seed into his fruit. Okay, then we're going to go back to verse 2. Okay, so verse 2, it says, you have heard, Paul's talking to Timothy, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Okay, so think about that, and then the next slide. My uncle served in the Korean War in the 3rd Ranger Company. For myself, I served in the 1st Ranger Battalion. And so we had a common, you know, lineage, because we're in the same unit. And so they were having a reunion for my uncle's outfit, and so he invited me. And they all want to talk to the young ranger, because, you know, hey, they want to find out what it's like for younger rangers and stuff. So anyways, my uncle introduces me to this guy, and he says, this guy taught me the difference between incoming and outgoing artillery and mortar, you know, artillery and mortars, which is a big deal. Because if it's outgoing, mortars and artillery, that's a good thing, because it's taking a fight to the enemy. But if it's incoming, that means you're going to have shrapnel, and it can kill you really easy. So you need to take cover immediately. And then at the time of the Korean War, it usually signaled that the Chinese, communist Chinese, were going to attack, and they attacked in just waves. So it was a big deal. It was a big deal to know that the enemy was getting ready to attack. So, and it, you know, could be actually life-changing in that matter. You know, and then, so that's like Timothy passing, you know, or Paul passing wisdom to Timothy, and Timothy saying, hey, you need to pass this on as well. So the everyday application is kind of obvious. But while we were at summer camp, before we departed, Lee gave this short but powerful message about the hope that each of us who knows Christ has within us. And all around Northern Virginia, in your schools, and in sometimes even your homes, you see hopelessness. And our hope is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And, you know, this too is saving knowledge, of course. And so we need to be hope dealers and telling others about Jesus. That was Lee's message. It requires our obedience, embracing the awkward, hard work, and discipline. But for many of you, that would be a huge demonstration of spiritual growth. Many of you are already exhibiting this type of maturity by participating and taking it to the streets, lead the cause, and then just sharing on your own. And then some of you are teaching Awana, and some of the upper class students are discipling freshmen. And all these are significant indicators of your spiritual maturity. So as we mature, we take the godly wisdom that we've learned from more mature followers of Christ, our own Bible study, and our personal story that God has given us, and then we disciple or teach that to others so that they can do the same. And then next slide. Okay, this is on your sheet also. All right, so then with the next slide, should be another table question. So the question on this table discussion is answer who you are discipling and who is discipling you. And your backup question is, if you don't have that, is who led you to the Lord? And then take 4 minutes to discuss that. And the next slide, please. Okay, so we're going to press on to verses 7 to 10. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand these things. And so remember, Paul said to Timothy to be strong in the grace, which is also a teacher. So he says, think about these things. The grace will help you to understand. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of the King David, was raised from the dead. And so, which is so cool, he didn't remain in the tomb. He defeated death, and that should, you know, then he says, this is the good news I preach. That should just really excite us all, because he did what he said he was going to do. He defeated death. He defeated sin, all these awesome things. We know who he is, who he said he is, because he did it. He defeated death. He rose from it. So it really should get us excited. That is good news, because we can trust him. And then it goes on in verse 9. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering. You know, I've been chained like a criminal. So here's Paul. He's in prison the second time. He's facing death, you know, imminent death sentence. You know, he's been beaten. He's been whipped. He's been stoned. He's been shipwrecked. He's been left for dead. Now he's in prison the second time, and he's got a death sentence. And what is he doing? Is he, woe is me, sitting there like a victim or anything like that? No. No. He's writing to Timothy because he wants to pass on this good news to his protege, Timothy, the guy, this young man he's been discipling. It's so amazing. And he says, I am suffering and I've been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be chained. So, you know, here's Paul writing this letter. You know, most people would have just hung it up, but not Paul. He's writing this letter that we're reading right now. And he says, so I'm willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory to Christ Jesus, to those God has chosen. Wow. I mean, is he serious about his faith? I think so, right? I mean, and he's just passing it on. Look, man, this grace that's given me power, I want you to have it too, and I want you to pass it on. I want you to know this Savior, this Messiah that's come, right? He is just so motivated. And then go on into the next slide, verses 11 to 13. And then he says, this is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Wow, that's just really powerful to be able to reflect on those verses. And we could do a whole separate thing on that, but I'm just going to sum it up. So my question is to you, what are you aiming for? Are you aiming to be in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that you know him more intimately? Are you honest with him and expose to him all your junk? He already knows what it is, but are you honest with him? Do you love yourself enough so that you are willing to obey him so that he can guide you and empower you to clean up your own mess? Do you understand what he's done for you? He took all your sin, past, present, and future. He took all your shame. He suffered in the worst imaginable way at the time, that was the Roman cross, all the way to death. Why? Because he loves you, and he wants to restore the intimate relationship that we had with him in the garden, right? And it lasts forever. It's called eternal life. Do you love him? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And then he also said, you know, he was asked, what is the first commandment? He said, the first commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like the first: to love your neighbor as yourself. That, my friend, is obedience. That's called obedience to Jesus, love, all right? Are you willing to aim to grow closer to him so that you can mature by hard work and discipline, motivated by love, fueled by grace? Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Are you ready to mature? Maybe you don't know him. And maybe you don't know this power of grace that he gives us, but you want it. You know that, hey man, there's some sin in your life that you're a slave to it. You just can't overcome it, man. It owns you. Or maybe there's some shame in your life and you just can't get over it. You know, Jesus, he paid it all because he loves you and he wants to restore you. He wants you to accept his grace, his gift of eternal life, a relationship with you that gives you total forgiveness and empowers you to have this relationship that he intended from the very beginning so that you could have it right now and it lasts for eternity. It's eternal, right? And the more you know him, that's the real power of the relationship. He already knows you. He knows all your junk. He knows everything about you. Read Psalm 139. From David, man. David knew. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He wants you to know him. He wants you to have an intimate relationship with him. So this life has meaning. It has an eternal impact. He cares about you. For those of you who don't know him, you don't know that grace, that power, you want it, talk to me. Talk to Lee. Talk to any of these table leaders. And we would love to show you how you can have that. It's so simple. So with that said, we're a couple minutes ahead of schedule. I am a soldier. I served for 15 months in Afghanistan. I went there multiple times even before I deployed, at least 12 different times. Really heartbreaking, you know, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the way it's went. While I was there, the brigade I served with, we lost 43 paratroopers. It was heartbreaking. The areas that we fought for, this is way before the surge. There were maybe 20,000 soldiers there. After we left, these areas we fought for, we died for, two rotations later, even though there were six times more soldiers there, we gave them up because they weren't important enough. You know, why did these soldiers have to die? It's heartbreaking. A lot of soldiers are asking that same question now. Why did we have to serve? But I'm here to say it was worth it. And I just want to take 2 minutes and honor the guys that I served with that made the total commitment for our freedom. And so, Dennis, I don't know if you can bring that up. And so if you just can look at the slides and look at these guys, they're not much older than you are. Okay, well, thanks for that. Let me close this in prayer. Father God, thank you for this morning and just the opportunity to be in your word. And Lord, I just pray for each of us, Lord, that you would just give us the desire to grow in maturity, the desire to have the aim to mature in our relationship with you, Father, and that you would give us discipline, give us hard work, so that we would stay focused on that aim. Lord, that we would get to know you intimately, to know you better, to know how good you are, to know how loving you are. And Lord, that you would just use us, knowing that it's going to be tough, just like it was for Paul, but this life will have purpose. And Lord, you'll use us for your glory. And this life goes on. This is just a blip on the screen, the life on earth here, but it goes on for eternity. And Lord, we get to spend that, those of us who know you, we spend that eternity with you in heaven. More importantly, those of us who know you, we have a relationship with you right now, personal. And doesn't necessarily mean our life's going to be easy, but oh, it is so much easier going through this life and being able to focus on others and be able to tell them about your good news and how much you mean, how much you care for them. Because it is such a broken world with so many rough things that are going on. So, Lord, I lift up also the families of those soldiers that we just witnessed and the families of all the soldiers, the ones that were recently lost. We pray for their peace. We pray that they would know you as their Savior and Lord. Lord, we pray for the whole Afghan population. We pray that you would use this whole situation in Afghanistan for your glory. Lord, that you would just open the eyes of the many unreached people groups that are comprised in Afghanistan, but you would use this for your glory to bring your gospel to them so that they would know eternal life, Father. Father, I pray that you'd be with each student and each leader and bless them and protect them as we go our ways. We love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.